There's one thing that sin continually does as you read the Word of God. I should say one thing that sin continually did as you read the Word of God and still does today, and that is that it turns the face of God away. If you look there in verse 9 of this chapter, it says, "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and because of their carelessness." And that's what was displayed here, rejecting the word of God. Because of their carelessness, there was rampant confusion, and that there was evident consequences. It was a day of great frustration for the likes of Jeremiah, who was trying to turn men and women to the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah, he is in this chapter, and indeed through the whole book, bewailing the ruin of his countrymen. Someone put it this way, they said that in some parts of Jeremiah, the book Jeremiah, there are more lamentations than there are in the book of Lamentations. And sin here in chapter 8 of Jeremiah, as we find it presented to us, is under the figurative character of a disease. And because you can understand that as you read the whole chapter now, the disease of sin. The thought here is of the presentation of the cure, the rejection of a cure, and a broken heart in the prophet, because men and women refuse to cure. And there is that cry, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" I mentioned the character of disease. Sin is a hereditary disease. As you preach, it's sometimes difficult to get men and women to understand that the sinful blood of Adam runs in all of our veins. And wherever you are tonight, irrespective of your background, if you do not know the Lord, you are in your sin still. And all of us are born in that sin. But it is a disease which pervades every area, dwelling in every department of life, affecting how men think. Reading in these days about our own country here and some of the awful things that have happened, you wonder, how can men think like that? How can you possibly come to the conclusion that such and such a thing was justified, when you think of how cruel and barbaric it was? Sin pervades man's thinking. And it pervades man's thinking, it pervades his attitude, and then his action. And it often, as we see today also, pervades his words. Sin, as a disease, is deceitful. Sometimes assumes quite a gentle form. Look there in verse 6, you will see that it says, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle." And the reference here is to the war horse that could not be stopped. They were keen to get into battle. They were trained that way. And they rushed forward with determination, with great enthusiasm, and unaware of the danger. Men with pikes and other things, they plunged on anyway. And that's the reference here to these individuals, is saying, they thought, well, what have we done? And they just rush on as the war horse rushes on. Sin is so deceitful, men couldn't see it, but it's very painful. That's another thing about it. It fills men with dissatisfaction, fills their heart with fear, and brings agony very often to their conscience. Verse 15, "We look for peace, but no good came, for a time of health, but behold, trouble." It is a mocking disease, because it will mock at all human attempts to overthrow it. Men and women tonight, wherever you are, Remember that this sin that we're talking about, it will degrade you, it will dominate your life, and eventually it will destroy you. And we can understand this evening why the prophet Jeremiah, a man who had a love for the people and for their souls, why his heart is now heavy. Now these people had turned to everything but the Lord. They had been searching out for some things. If you look at verses 13 and 14, you will see that they were doing that and compare it with verse 20. And that really in verse 20 is a complaint that cannot be justified. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In the immediate context, it was their own fault. So here you have a people now who they've broken the heart of the prophet with their unbelief and disinterest, and then the cry comes out. Is there no balm in Gilead? Strange thing to mention. Balm is just a little resin. It's a resin or a gum that comes from the balsam tree. And it was known back in those days, maybe still in some ways, for its medicinal properties, and was very often used to heal certain types of wounds and certain types of diseases. But the language here is something that would have been familiar with the people when balm was mentioned. Is there no balm in Gilead? Jeremiah's concern is not with a bruised leg or a cut finger. It's with spiritual ailment. And as he cries out, is there no balm in Gilead? Of course there is. And this balm that we're looking at tonight is a very clear type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The title this evening is A Balm for You Tonight. A Balm for You Tonight. I want you to go with me, please, as we look at this balm. And as I look at it under several headings, we trust that the Lord will speak to your heart. I want to consider, first of all, access to this balm. The balsam tree from which it was extracted was little more than a shrub. In fact, for several generations, the Gilead area was well known far and wide for its plantations of medicinal herbs. And among those herbs, there was the balsam tree. Just a little shrub. The plants themselves were exported to Egypt in large quantities, and this was something which grew prolifically in the Gilead area. There was lots of it around there, and it was accessible. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor in that area. While you may not have been able to afford so many things, the balm from the balsam tree, or the resin from it, was something that you would have had access to. It could be obtained by everyone who cared to look for it. And folks, when John was writing his gospel, there's a verse there that shows you tonight that Christ and the salvation that he won at the cross for you and for me is available to you, whatever your circumstances. Whether you're rich or poor, whether your background is one of a simple neglect of Christ or one of unspeakable wickedness, whatever it is tonight, in John 6 and 37, it says there, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now tonight we're looking here at access to this balm that is for you tonight. The first thing that you need to do is to recognize your need of the balm. So a man I know who is involved in Christian work, he was brought up in the Republic of Ireland. And in the dark background that he come from, someone reached him with the gospel, and I remember him telling of how he could still remember that night sitting in a meeting when he felt that he was the most lost man on earth. And folks, if you're not saved, that's where we would love you to be tonight. Right now, to feel that you're the most lost man or woman on earth, because we're going to point you to the cure for that situation. I wonder, do you recognize that you're lost? Do you recognize the sin wound? And you recognize that you need balm, you need to be healed. There is that realization. Thinking just this afternoon of quite a number of years ago now, singing of a young man that I know, well, now he's like me, he's not so young anymore, but when he was a young man, he brought up in a family where they were Protestant people, would have been associated with church attendance. There's no gospel there. And whenever he was a young fella, he realized this. He realized that he was lost. And realizing that, he resolved that he would come. You see, the procedure here to recognize the lostness and the need of a balm, to realize that you must come individually and to resolve to come. And that is what he did. And this balm was readily available to all who would come and partake of it. And so is Christ to them. The Lord Jesus Christ is available to you if you will come and put your faith and trust in him. Years ago, I was just talking to one of the family this afternoon about talking about various places in the Republic of Ireland. I remember being down in Cork City after the end of my first year in the college. Me and that occasion, there was one other fella, I think, went with me at first occasion, and because of down twice, but we went for 11 nights down there working with Colin Maxwell, who was a missionary down there at the time. And there was this fella, again, from a Roman Catholic background, but he would often come along for discussions with Colin, a very pleasant fellow. And when we were there, we were taking the meetings. No, there was three of us went down, three students, that's what it was. And he came along that night, and there was one of the other men that was with me. He was preaching, bringing the word, and he knew that this man might have been attending, and I have to be honest tonight, and said that he could not have presented the gospel. He did present it very clearly and faithfully, but he could not have presented it in a more gracious way to that individual. He couldn't see it. He couldn't get it. Couldn't recognize his lostness. He would come to this man and speak about various doctrines and various beliefs, but when it come to the individual need, and he was confronted with the fact, you know, you've got a sin wound and you need a cure. Christ is the answer. You need to repent and come to him. He just couldn't get that bit. And I trust that you can. Over there in the book of Psalms, in the Psalm 103, it says there in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Now, just to explain that, if it needs explanation, that does not mean that when you get saved that every physical disease you have disappears. Does not mean that Christians don't get terrible illnesses if they do. Because of sin, man's a fallen creature. But the reference here is to sinful, to spiritual need. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. There's mercy and completeness there if you will come and put your faith and trust in him. You cannot tonight, whether you're in the meeting or listening somewhere, you cannot come away from what you're listening to and say, well, I don't think that I have any access to this Christ, to this balm, this cure that is provided for me. There is the access to it. It's there for all who will come. But I want to say also that regarding the balm, that it must be applied to where the need is. If a man is out working in the field and he sustains some kind of an injury,
The ban must be taken and applied to that injury, or if there are certain types of disease that have occurred, the balm, the little resin, must be applied to it. It's not enough for that man to look at the resin in a little pot and say, well, I know that people say there are healing properties in that, but it must be applied. And folks, it's always good when men and women who are our friends, and some of them are, who will come and listen to the gospel, and they will agree with you. They will certainly be glad that you're preaching the gospel. Amazing thing. And they'll be glad that you're telling the young people and preaching to people the truth. But when it comes to personal application to their own heart, then that's where they seem to become undone. The people seem to be willing to listen and to understand that, well, that is what you're saying about Christ, I have need, but it just doesn't apply to me. All of that is to do with the devil's lying. All of that. Some of you will remember, I think it was 2010, when Reverend Thomas Martin himself conducted a mission in McGabbery in the tent before the community centre was extended on there. And there were, I can't remember, there were three or four people who got saved. And another two ladies one night and another person. But there was an old man, and he just couldn't get it. He could have sat there all night talking to you, but he just couldn't get it that he needed to take the message that he had heard and apply it to him. The hymn writer penned the words, "Look and live," referring to perhaps the brazen serpent in the book of Numbers, where Moses was told to put this brass serpent on a pole, put it up in the midst of the people, and those who'd been bitten by the serpents, they could be healed from this venomous, fatal bite if they looked to the brass serpent. But they needed to look. They couldn't drop their heads and think, well, I'm not looking where it is. That was the command from the Lord. They needed to look. And when it comes to men looking to Christ, Christ said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Men and women, have you looked? Have you looked? Have you applied what you heard to your own heart? Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That faith is looking. Looking to him tonight, making sure that this message has been applied and appropriated to your heart and condition. Because we want you to know tonight that while diseases in those days might have been destroying you, since destroying you, it may not feel like it's destroying you now, but the Bible tells us that sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. That's something that's on down the road. And I'm speaking about eternal death. So there's access to this balm for everyone who wanted it. There needed to be that application of the balm. It wasn't enough just to know that it was there. But I, next heading here is one word, is alone. There was no mention ever in the history books of having to mix this balm with anything else. You took the balm or the resin as it was, and depending on the disease or the hurt, it could be of tremendous benefit to those who applied it to their need. One, number one, it dealt with unrest. It dealt with unrest. Sometimes when people are wounded or cut, it can be a thing that gives you a great deal of unrest. Begin to fester. Read stories there of people in the wars, and they run out of medicinal stuff, and the men were going about seeking to do what they could, and they were pouring any alcohol they had over cuts and stuff and trying to heal themselves. But things were festering and brought terrible pain and suffering. And the balm in those days that we're reading about tonight would have been applied. It brought comfort and therefore rest. And in a degree, it brought peace. And that's what Jesus does. He deals with unrest. A perhaps extreme example is the man of Gadara that we read about in the Bible. There were people that had cared about him. They cared about themselves because they tried to bind him with chains and he broke them. And he was completely out of control and no one could deal with him. But when Jesus came into his heart, he was changed. They found him clothed and sitting in his right mind. The Lord dealt with the unrest. I think the hymn writer knew all about that, as every Christian does, when they penned the words, "Peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole." And in 2022, there are so many people in Northern Ireland who are not at rest. There's a great deal of unrest. The balm will deal with unrest, so will Christ. He will deal with your unrest tonight. You're not promised that all of your worries and problems will suddenly go away, but he'll give you rest in your soul and knowing that it's well with your soul. Not only would balm deal with unrest, but a good unburden. Before the balm was applied, if a person had a wound, as I mentioned, or some disease or other, it was a hardship to them, day in, day out, something they had to, as it were, carry around with them. So it is with sin, it's a burden. The Lord Jesus knew that, and he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you want to be unburdened tonight, you need to get to him. You need to look beyond any prejudice that wherever you are again, or whatever your religious affiliation is, look beyond any prejudice against Free Presbyterian Church or any other church. And you need to get to him. And it's when you get to him that you're unburdened, that the enmity is dealt with. Otherwise, festering disease of sin festers on and grows worse and worse, and there's no comfort and no assurance, and there's no peace. Another hymn writer said, "O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown." I wonder tonight, have you looked to him alone? You know, I've had discussions with people, and they believe everything I said up to a point, but they could not accept that it was Christ alone they needed. Just as the balm was alone, it's Christ alone, men and women, that you need. When we were on our way up from Galway last week, there was a sign to Kilpatrick where every year many, many people go on a pilgrimage, they call it. They go up the mountain. Some of them go on their bare feet so that they punish themselves and they try to get closer to God that way. And I saw a mountain. I had seen the sign for Kilpatrick, and I saw a mountain with what looked like a big scar down at the ground in the distance, and I thought, what kind of a mountain is that? The penny never dropped with me, really. And then I found out from someone else just recently, that is actually the pathway up to the top of Kilpatrick Mountain that is worn so much you can see it a long way off. Worn by people walking and trying to get near to God. And if you're someone tonight listening, and in your heart of hearts, you want peace with God, you're not finding it walking up a mountain. But you'll find it in Christ alone. This balm dealt with unrest. It unburdened. But I want to look at another word, and I want to say this, that balm could be avoided. Take a large number of people. Several of them, no doubt, had needs of some kind. The writer here, uses the words, the balm in Gilead. There's no balm in Gilead. There's no physician there. The need all around him is very great. Even when you take it regarding the literal balm, there would have been people who, for one reason or another, would not have applied it, would have disregarded it, perhaps would have shunned it altogether. Maybe people with unconcern. Saw a documentary one time with a person on it who had some kind of, I don't know what it was, I was just a young fella, but it was whatever it was just eating away at the whole side of his face, and his ear was all gone, and part of his face was as well. And there's a young nurse sitting there, very gracious and pleasant and caring for him, and it showed in the documentary, she was pleading with him to go to the hospital from the house, but he wouldn't go. He wouldn't go, and he mumbled things like, oh, I'll go sometime, and maybe go in another few weeks, and he wouldn't go. You see, it was unconcern. Thought it wasn't as bad as it really was. And men and women, when we take that situation and we think of the sinner being unconcerned regarding this balm, Christ that we're talking about, I've already mentioned that sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And that says very clearly to you tonight, if you're not saved, sin has got a bigger grip on you than you ever imagined. I hope you're concerned. People avoided it. Balm, I'm sure, because of unconcern, because of unbelief. Balm was just resin. Looked like syrup. Nothing particularly attractive about it, and come to the conclusion, well, I might be unwell, or I might have a need here, but I'm certainly not. I'm not going to touch this stuff. Didn't Isaiah long before Christ came to earth say that he had no form or comeliness, and that he had no beauty that we should desire him? And so it is to this moment in time. Men see nothing in Christ. But I ask you tonight, this bond is closely associated with peace and rest, as I've already mentioned. Do you really want that peace and rest tonight? Or are you going to die in unbelief? There was an infidel one time who was notorious for his arguing with Christians and criticizing the Bible. And when he came to die, his nurse recorded what he said. And she was there as a Christian and wouldn't listen to what she had to say. But on almost his last breath, he said, I could die in peace if only I knew that the Bible wasn't true. He heard it and knew it was God's truth. I could die in peace if only I knew that the Bible wasn't true. Men and women, why are you still in unbelief? What's your unbelief about? Surely you believe the Word of God is the Word of God applicable to you. Are you avoiding Christ, the balm for your soul? Avoided because of unconcern, unbelief. But maybe some were undecided. I thought, well, it seems to be doing something for someone else, but it's just not, maybe, I don't know what to do. How many people have you talked to in this time? You know what that's doing? That's called procrastination. And it's putting off salvation to another day that is never ever promised. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Maybe people undecided, thinking, well, this balm, I know people who've applied it to some things and it didn't work. Remember this, men and women. There's no type in the Bible that is perfect. They all fall short of the great perfection of Christ the antitype. And while there were things that balm would not cure, didn't the psalmist say, who healeth all thy diseases? He will save you completely tonight if you come and trust, put your trust in him. I don't know, maybe pride came apart with some thinking, is there not another way for me? And I wonder how it is with you tonight. If you think of this, a balm for you tonight. You know what sin can do. You know what it has done. And some of you listening will know what you need to do. Back in, I think it was 18-something, there was a preacher, I don't remember now the date, who saw a man in this meeting who seemed to be very concerned. And he had a discussion with him, stopped him and talked with him on the way out, and the man says, "No, I'm not getting saved. I know what you're saying, but I'm not getting saved." And then, sometime later, that same individual, he took ill, and some members of the congregation, they went to the preacher and said, "Would you go and see him? He's taken ill." And he said, "I will, surely." And he went round to see him and he talked to him. He said, "Nope, I'm not coming. I'm not changing where I am. I'll be okay." Short time later, after some kind of a recovery, he fell ill again. And this time, his illness was not going to, he wasn't going to be recovered from, very ill. The preacher was called for again and he came into him. And he confronted the man with the truth and he said, "Listen, God in his mercy has given to you an 11th hour opportunity." And he explained the gospel simply to him again. And he said, "No." And after the preacher left, I think it was less than 1 hour until that man passed out into eternity. The family, of course, were devastated and heartbroken. The preacher, talking about this situation some years after, in warning men and women in gospel meetings to come to Christ, he said concerning the individual, and I'm sure he didn't name him, but he mentioned the situation. He said, "We wrapped him in a Christless shroud. Then we put him in a Christless coffin. We eventually buried him in a Christless grave, and he'll spend all eternity in a Christless hell." And folks, that's all true. That's all true of every man or woman who dies without the Lord. There are gospel campaigns organized in Northern Ireland every year. Some organized for this all. People come and go and don't get saved. They feel that this balm is not for them now. And if it is for them, it's not for them now. Whatever their reason is, they go away as they can. And really, in their heart, what is offered in the gospel mission is undesirable. Whatever it is that's on the throne of their heart, or whatever their misconceptions are, it is keeping them back from Christ. And I ask you tonight, are you anxious concerning your soul? And you ought to be. And tonight, if you come in true repentance, Christ will be the balm for your soul. And will forgive you from all your sin and will prepare you for eternity. A balm for you tonight. It's a lovely verse, and I'll finish with this. It's in Isaiah chapter 61. It says in verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." What a verse that shows us what is available to all of those who apply the balm that's presented to their own situation and to their own need. I trust that you not avoid that balm, but rather that it will be applied seemingly to your